Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. Welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online or on catch-up service during the week. We're so delighted to have you with us for worship today. Just a few intimations before we start. A reminder that on the 11th of September, and that's a Tuesday, we'll have our next meeting of the Kirk session. That's 11th of September at 7:30 p.m. Also a reminder that on the 16th of September, which is a Sunday, the Praise Band will lead us in our next evening service. It'll be an evening service of praise, and all are warmly welcome to come along and join for that event. And will that start at 6:30 p.m.? On the 16th of September, have an evening service of praise. It should be a wonderful time of worship together. A reminder that the next meeting of our men's group will be held on Tuesday, the 18th of September at 7 p.m. at the Church Center, and our honored guest and speaker for the evening will be the Reverend Dr. John Cook of Howe Trinity Church in Afford, who will come along to talk about a recent pilgrimage that he led to the Holy Land. All interested men, please speak with Leslie Mackay for more information. And just an update of the last several weeks and months, we've been advertising an upcoming pilgrimage to the Iona community at the end of October, beginning of November, and I shall now say that we have filled all available slots for that trip. So thank you all who have signed up to join us for this pilgrimage to Iona. That should be a very meaningful time together as well. And now I would ask Jim to come forward to share an announcement about AV volunteers. Jim?
Thank you. AV volunteers, the people who sit on the top deck there and who each week faithfully make sure that the sound and the video and the screens that you see up here are all kept in sync with what's going on in the service. We have a full rota, and I'm really pleased to be able to say that. We don't have any gaps, but there are times when it's going to be difficult to fulfill the rota. For certain times of years, people go away on holiday and so on, and that puts a little bit of pressure on the rota. So if you feel you could be the person or one of the persons who might join the rota, then we'd be really pleased to hear from you. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, of course, but this is not something that needs to be done by any particular type of person. You don't have to be a technically minded person to do this. It's actually very, very straightforward. I think if you spoke to any of the people who operate the system at the moment, they'll tell you that once you get the idea of what it's all about, it really is very straightforward. Of course, if you join the rota, we wouldn't expect you to take full responsibility straight away. We would expect to have a period where you would buddy up with somebody and maybe work in pairs for a while with somebody who's experienced. So there's no pressure about having to get things right from day one and so on. So from that point of view, if you think you might be interested in giving this a go, either you could be on the sound desk, you could be on the AV for the slides that you see up here, or for the video team who are broadcasting video each week. There's an opportunity to be involved in any one of those three things or only just one of them. It's entirely up to you. So if you're kind of half interested and you think it might be for you, even if you're feeling a little bit tentative, please talk to me and we'll see if we can work something out. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, appreciate that. I also commend all of the other intimations in print to your consideration when you have time to read through them. Are there any other intimations that we would need to share with our church family at the start of our time together? Yes, Rita.
Can I just speak to the team real quick?
Yes, please. Why don't you come forward and speak to that?
Very briefly, you will have seen the posters up for the Tier Fund Big Quiz in November, and the details are on the intimation sheet. I would just like to add three things. Firstly, this is not replacing the harvest offering that we take up at our harvest service in October. This is a nationwide initiative by Tier Fund and is extra. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we're not actually going to be selling tickets. We're an eco-congregation, so we are just going to have a big sign-up sheet. Gather together tables of six, or part tables, or singles, couples, sign up, and we will sort out tables. And thirdly, rather than just gather five of your friends together with you, who may well be coming anyway, can you think outside the congregation? We are blessed with two big halls at the centre, and if we could fill the two halls with people from the congregation and their outside friends, that would be just great. So thank you very much.
Rita, am I correct in thinking that the categories for the quiz night are already set by Tier Fund as well?
Indeed. The quiz is produced by Tier Fund. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is
provide the bodies. Okay, very good indeed. Thank you very much for that. Any other information to share with our church family? With those shared then, let us enter into our worship together with singing our opening song of praise. Come, now is the time to worship. And during the singing of this song of praise, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father, at the beginning of our service, we remind ourselves of your promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be with them. So we acknowledge that we are in your presence now. We thank you that as well as being our great God and Creator, we can know you as our Redeemer, when we remember the great debt paid for us at Calvary. Lord, you see and know everything about us. We have much to thank you for. We thank you for the abilities you have given to each one of us. As well as life itself, we thank you for our friends and families. We thank you for your church here in Kemney and everywhere your people are met together. We thank you, Lord, for the area that we live in with all the beauty around us. And we once again take time now to thank you for each other. We thank you for the love we receive from and are enabled to give to our friends here. We thank you for the many good things you give us, and we pray that we might never take these for granted. So we thank you again for our health, our jobs, our homes, our schools, and everything you give to us. Father, you know our weaknesses, which very often outshine any good things we might do. And we ask for your forgiveness for the wrongs we've done in this past week, for the unkind things we've said and the wrong thoughts we've had. Father, forgive us, we pray. Father, there are those known to us who are in need of our prayers, and we bring them before you now. We pray for those on their own, and we pray that you will comfort and uphold them. We pray that our worship this morning will bring glory to your name. We pray that as we sing our songs of worship and listen to your word, we might draw close to you and understand what you might be saying to each of us individually. We thank you for the gifts you have given to those who lead us in our singing, and we thank you that they can use them in this way. We thank you and pray for the children as they meet together later, that they might learn of your love for them. We pray for our pastor Joshua as he preaches later from the book of Genesis. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can call him our Saviour as we remember that you sent him into the world so that through him we might be saved. We pray that you will accept our offering, that it might be used here and further afield for your glory. Lord, accept our worship and continue to be with us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. We continue now to worship our God through song with singing our next hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Oh,
like to invite all children down for our children's time. Parents and guardians are welcome to come down as well to join me on the steps. You can sit on both sides if you want. Got plenty of room. Oh, a ladybug right there. Yes, indeed. Let's get that out of the way. Pardon us for a second. There we go.
I want to hold it.
You want to hold it? Okay. Got it? Let's see if I can help you out here real quick. Here you go. The important things, right? There we go. Got it? Well, how are you all doing today? You all right?
Yeah.
Well, today in church, we're starting to look at a very important part of the Bible, the very beginning of the Bible, a book called Genesis. And I wanted to share the start of it with each of you today. This is a story called God's Big Plan. Yeah? And so it reads, ABC 123, everything begins somewhere. See the pictures?
It flied
away. The ladybug flew away. Good for it. Yes. Imagine a place. I love the children's time. Imagine a place with nothing to see, nothing to hear, taste, touch, or smell. No earth, no sky. In the beginning, there was nothing but God the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But God had a plan to create something big. And on the first day, God said, "Let there be light." And light happened. And God called it daytime. And the darkness He called nighttime. On the second day, God spoke again, and He separated the sky and the waters. On the third day, He created all of the land that we see, and water whirled and swirled all around. God gathered the waters into seas, then up came land, hills, valleys, and plains. You see all the water in the picture there? You see all the water swirling around and the hills behind it? God made all of that. And God spoke again, and all kinds of plants sprouted from the earth, colorful flowers of every kind and vegetables, trees that were tall and strong, their branches loaded with wonderful, juicy fruit. God saw all of what He had made, all of these beautiful things, and He said, "This is good." God wasn't finished yet. On the fourth day, He created the sun and popped the moon into the sky, and He put stars in the sky, more than we can ever count. You see the planets and the stars and all these wonderful things. But God wasn't even finished then. Next, God created birds and sea creatures on the fifth day, little minnows and giant, giant whales, tiny hummingbirds and tall ostriches. Day six was really special. God filled the earth with all kinds of animals. What animals do you see in the picture here? What animals do you see?
I can see the giraffe.
The giraffe, that's right. What's that? A monkey. What's that animal right there?
An elephant.
That is right. Absolutely. So all kinds of animals. What's that animal right there, do you think? Do you
know? Crocodile.
A crocodile. That's right. And what does a crocodile do? It goes snap, snap. Now, that's right. So worms wriggled in the dirt, giraffes reached for the sky, the lions roared, and the monkeys laughed. Animals, animals everywhere. But you know what? God had made all of these wonderful things, but He still wasn't done. He made the earth, He made the sky, He made the waters, He made the stars, He made the animals. Do you have a guess? What did God make next?
Human
beings. Oh, that is right. And that's where the story gets really exciting. That God made each and every one of us. And next week, we're going to hear a lot more about that. But today, when we look around this place, there's nothing that God didn't make. Everything around us, everything we enjoy, everything we love, God created it. And that is an amazing truth. So every day of this week, as you're walking around, you see the trees, you see the sky, You go to your schools and you say, God made all of this. And that's pretty incredible. And God made each of us. He made each of us into special people who he loves so very much. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for making everything that we see. Thank you for making the earth. Thank you for making the water, the sky, and the stars, and the sun. Thank you for making us as well. Thank you for loving us, each of us, so very much. Each day this week, help us, Lord, to say thank you to you for everything that we see, for everything that we have. Help us to be grateful and happy people, more and more like Jesus, who is our friend and our Savior. And we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now, back to your parents and guardians. So, now comes the true test. I hiked Loch Nagar yesterday. Let's see if I can stand up. Success. As we sing together our next song of praise, Alleluia, Alleluia. Our children and young ones can be excused for children's activities that way.
Today's reading can be found on page 3 of the Bibles in the pews. We will be reading Genesis 1, 1 through 25. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thanks be to God for his word today.
Thank you, Kylie. To continue in worship with singing our next hymn of praise, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Hearing the story of creation, that seems the most appropriate hymn to sing, a hymn of praise for God's creative activity. And this Sunday, we are starting a new series on what is one of the most important and perhaps most misunderstood books of the Bible. What book are we looking at? Genesis. There we go. It's not a trick question. And at the very start of our time, I would like to share what I think is one of the main goals of this series on Genesis. Now, when we read our Bibles are divided into two main parts, right? What are the two main parts of the Bible? Again, not a trick question. And New Testament, that's right. And for our Orthodox or Roman Catholic friends, they have a part called the Apocrypha that goes right in the middle of those. So we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And quite often in the history of the church as a whole, not speaking of the church here in Kemnay per se, but in the church as a whole, there have been different values placed on these two parts of the Bible. Quite often, and without ill intention, the Old Testament has often been treated as an important but secondary supporting part of Scripture, as a glorified run-up to the true heart of Scripture in the New Testament. Put another way, we see the Old Testament, we treat the Old Testament as a run-up to the gospel, and the New Testament as the actual gospel, as the actual good news. And this way of looking at the Bible has the tragic effect sometimes of putting a lesser amount of importance on the Old Testament in the journey that we all take as Christian disciples. I remember once working in a church context when I was several years ago now, and I once went into the pastor's study to have a conversation, and I noticed a drawer in his file drawer marked sermons. And he once opened it up, and I looked inside, and he had his sermons organized by file tabs. So each book of the Bible had, you know, certain amount of sermons. And I remember distinctly looking at the section for New Testament sermons, which was massive. And then the Old Testament section, much, much smaller. Now, there is a lot of value and worth in preaching from the New Testament. It is the Word of God to us as well. We should never diminish it. But valuing the New Testament should not make us devalue the Old Testament. So, why am I telling you all of this morning? I am saying all of this because as we journey through Genesis, and this is going to be a lengthier journey, but hopefully a profitable journey for us, it's going to take us all the way into December. We're going to try and do some justice to Genesis. Kylie and I hope that we as a church family will start to see or to see again that there is just as much gospel. And what does the word gospel mean? Good news. There is just as much good news in the Old Testament as there is in the New Testament. So, with that in mind, we are going to be looking at, over these next several weeks, we're looking at the gospel according to Genesis. Friends, we are quite used as Christians to hearing things like, the Old Testament is incomplete without the New Testament. And there is some truth to that, but I, for our purposes, would like to reframe the idea just a wee bit. Instead of saying that the Old Testament is incomplete without the New Testament, that's so deeply ingrained in us, I would like to suggest that the New Testament is incomprehensible without the Old Testament. The New Testament cannot be properly understood apart from the Old Testament. Everything that Jesus said and did, everything the church as his body said and did in the first part of the church's history can only be understood when we fully reckon with God's teaching to us in the Old Testament. In fact, I have to confess, and this is one of my pet peeves, hobby horse, whatever term you prefer, that I am not even that great of a fan of the term Old Testament. It sounds to me a bit pejorative. As we go forward with the gospel of Genesis, I would encourage each of us to think of the Old Testament as a collection of writings, as God's word with its own integrity. We can think of it as the Hebrew Bible, or if we like, we can think of it as the Bible that Jesus used. You know that part in the New Testament where Paul, the apostle, writes, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching and correcting? What do you think he was talking about? Talking about, or the Hebrew Bible.
Yes,
indeed. So with all of this said, let us now turn to consider together the opening lines of the gospel according to Genesis, which begins with a very famous account of creation. And I would encourage us, if we have them handy, to follow along in our own Bibles. So it starts with one of, if not the most famous line in all of the Bible. What's the first line of Genesis? God created the heavens and the earth. All right. So I said it's one of the most, if not the most famous line in all of Scripture. It is an incredibly simple, but equally incredibly profound idea. And this passage goes on, as we heard Kylie read, it goes on to deal with what Genesis presents as the 6 days of creation. Day one, God created light, divided it from darkness. Day two, God created the sky, separated from the waters below. Day three, the creation of the sea and dry land, the blessing of the earth. Day four, the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, the creation of animal life for the sea, for the sky, the call for them to be fruitful. Day six, the creation of animal life on the land, and the creation of humanity in the divine image. Now, as we'll hear next week and later on, day seven, the creation and blessing of the Sabbath day, the day of rest. That's a very fast overview of a very incredible passage of Scripture. And at the risk of courting some controversy, we need to ask ourselves, what is this passage all about? How should we read this passage? We might think, well, obviously, Joshua, it's all about creation. And in one sense, yes, it is. But I think it's about something more. The more that I read through this first chapter of Genesis, the more I am convinced that these beautiful, breathtaking words were intended as some kind of celebratory declaration of God's creative power. This opening chapter is a celebration of the fact that God created. In fact, if you read through it carefully, it kind of has a liturgical feel to it. It's got a lovely rhythm to it, a lot of repetition back and forth, a nice rhythm for memorization, perhaps. And so these opening lines of Genesis, these profound words of the Gospel of Genesis, we don't read them because they give us a scientific blow-by-blow account of how creation came into being. It doesn't do that. I don't think we should get our science from the book of Genesis. That's not the point of reading Genesis. Rather, the focus of the beginning of the Gospel of Genesis is on the who and the why. Who created and why? This passage is meant to identify God as creator of all things. And the fact that God created all things for God's glory. And we have to be mindful as well of the time and the place when this opening passage of Genesis was first shared orally and then written down in the ancient Near East. The ancient Near East was full of different kinds of creation stories. And in these other creation stories, these other stories made gods and deities out of created things like the sea, like the land, like the sun, like the moon. And so we contrast that, we read this opening chapter of Genesis, and does this first chapter of Genesis call the sun or the sea or the land, does it call these things gods? No. It tells us that the true, one, everlasting God made all of these things. So this passage is a challenge and a rebuke to all of these other false creation stories, and helps us put our worship back where it belongs, on the true and living God. This opening passage also lays the groundwork for the rest of the first five books of the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Bible. The fancy term for the first five books of the Bible, anybody know it? The Pentateuch. It lays the groundwork for everything that's to be said in these first five books, especially for the heart of the Pentateuch, which is the Ten Commandments. It lays the groundwork by pointing to God as a supreme creator, that if God made everything that there is, then God ought to be trusted and obeyed. This opening passage of the Gospel of Genesis also reveals another very important idea, and that is, from the very beginning, God has been in the business of redemption. Even from the very beginning. Look again at the opening lines of Genesis. Or listen again. says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and morning, the first day. The text tells us that before God spoke, there was darkness, there was waste, there was void. But then God spoke. And what's the first thing that God said? Let there be light. I say it every time I change a light bulb in the manse. This is my God complex, I guess. But God spoke, let there be light, and brought order, power, to what was in disorder. In the words of the scholar Alan Ross, God transformed the chaos into the cosmos. He turned darkness into light and altered that which was unprofitable to that which was good, holy, and worth divine blessing. End quote. So these opening lines of the Gospel of Genesis, they set the wonderful tone for the entirety of the Hebrew Scriptures, for the entirety of Jesus' Bible. This part of our Scriptures in which God continually redeems the people of Israel from the chaos and the darkness of sin and leads them into blessing, into rest, and the great promise of redemption. This redemption, which we know and believe, finds its ultimate expression in Jesus Christ. And these opening lines in the Gospel of Genesis, they reach their culmination on the sixth day of creation, in the creation of humanity, of man and woman. And in one sense, like the animals, we are told that God created humans from the ground, the text says. Otherwise, from the elements of creation. And in some ways, we as humans are like animals. And in some ways, animals are a lot like us. I'm convinced more and more of this the more time I spend with my dog, Benny, who's one of the most human animals I've ever met. But we are also, as humans, so much more. This is made clear in the declaration that human beings are formed in the image of God. But what does it mean to be made in the image of God? There have been no shortage of attempts to answer this question. Some have suggested that being made in the image of God refers to human personality, our inner nature, or perhaps the capacity to make moral decisions. Personally, I see nothing wrong with any of these answers, and I would be happy to say that they all touch on important aspects of what it means to be made in the image of God. In my own reading of the text, being made in the image of God reflects the simple but profound truth that God has a special purpose in mind for human life. As noted by one German scholar named Gerhard von Rad, uses the example of ancient kings used to set up statues of themselves at the borders of their land to show the full expanse of their territory. So that when you're traveling along and you enter into another country, you see the statues of the new king, you say, ah, I'm in someone else's territory. That's who's in charge here. And in a similar fashion, those statues served to mark territory that we serve as those same kinds of images for God's territory. That when we see other human beings, humanity itself is a witness to all creation of God's sovereign authority, of God's kingship, of God's dominion over all of creation. So putting it another way, being made in the image of God means that we are called to represent who? There we go. To represent God. A friend of mine once said to me that God and humanity, we have a lot in common. We both like to make things. The Gospel of Genesis tells us about God as creator, and it tells us that humanity has been made in the image of God. And that means that God has given each of us great power and equally great responsibility for the created order. It means that we must treat the creation as good stewards, with care, with discernment. We must not be reckless with the resources and blessings that God has given to each of us. The Gospel of Genesis also tells us that God's great work of redemption, it is ongoing. And that we, as image bearers of God, we each have a role to play in God's ongoing work of redemption. You ever thought about it that way? We're not just called to be passive bystanders while God does everything. We are called, claimed, and redeemed by God. Through Christ, the image of God is fully restored, and we are called to participate with God in the ongoing transforming work of redemption of all of creation. We do this by following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and by living into the true and living power of the Holy Spirit. Each of us has a part and a role to play because each of us has been formed in God's image. Each of us is a part to play, I'll say it again, in God's redemptive plan and activity here in creation. So as we journey through the Gospel of Genesis together, I hope and I pray that these truths become more evident to us, and that we learn again or learn anew or learn for the first time to see ourselves formed in God's image, called to live and to work and be in ways that pay honor and glory to God, that point to Jesus as a source of salvation. That is what the Gospel of Genesis points towards. That is what we are supposed to be about. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the very good Gospel of Genesis. You did not need to create anything, but out of your great love, you called everything into existence. In the time to come, in the weeks to come, help us to remember and believe that you have formed each of us in your image. You have redeemed each of us by the precious blood of Christ. You have put your Spirit within each of us to work with you for the redemption of all of creation. Give us courage to live more and more into these great truths. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We've heard that God's work of redemption is ongoing. God's faithfulness, we are told, is made new every morning. Every day, because of Jesus, each of us has been made into a new creation.
Let us bow our heads in prayer for the second prayer, Prayers of the World. Lord God, we take this time to acknowledge that your beloved creation, that you fashioned with care, is not as it should be. All of creation groans for your coming, but we see it especially in mass deforestation of African and Asian countries. This land is no longer able to bear fruit, no longer able to feed its inhabitants. It is stripped, burnt, and rejected. Rejuvenate this desert, Lord. Let it pour forth its bounty. We see the need for your healing presence in Libya, where clashes between militant groups has led to more than 39 deaths this week. Lord, this world is filled with violence, chaos, and hate. We pray that your kingdom comes, a kingdom that ushers in peace and unity, that calls ceasefires and freedom for captives, that heals age-old wounds and extends the bond of siblinghood. Our own bodies groan for you to come. They are tired, sore, struggling with illness and disease. God, you created us out of nothing. You have the power to heal us as well. Extend your hand and touch us. Let us feel your comfort. We bring to you our own prayers, the things we need your help on, in the silence of our hearts now. Lord God, thank you for the ways you've already blessed us. Treatment plans that are helping us to heal. Peace talks between enemy countries. Admittance of wrong in the bus explosion in Yemen. Lord God, these blessings are helping to make this world more like your kingdom. We come before you, praying for healing, acknowledging the work you've already done. And we're ready to continue working for your kingdom in the week we have ahead of us. Lord, give us the courage to do so. Amen.
Thank you, Kylie. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
Genesis is good news. It is the beginning of the gospel of redemption. Each of us has been formed in the image of God. Each of us is called to take part in God's ongoing work of redemption. Go forth from this place and do so. And go with the blessing of the living triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.